How many of y'all know tonight's Passover? Passover. I want to talk a little bit about Passover. It's one of the most important feasts celebrated, especially by the Jewish people. There are seven feasts of the Lord. And the first feast that is to be celebrated is called Passover. The second feast is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then there's the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Trumpets. Hallelujah, the Feast of Atonement. And the Feast of Tabernacle. These are seven feasts that have been designated by God Almighty Himself. They are significant in time sequences. Only Jesus can fulfill the feast. Only Jesus Himself fulfills them. They were prophesied in the Old Testament because everything comes into the natural realm by what has been spoken by God to the prophets and then spoken and come into the natural. Is everybody with me? Because the word spirit means breath. Everything that comes to pass has been spoken. The worlds were created by God's word. That means He spoke it. All the universe and everything was created by what He spoke. Which is turned to Exodus chapter 12. Tonight is Friday, right? Praise God, I'm glad we're all on the same page. Almost. Exodus chapter 12. I pray we have revelation of His mighty, mighty word. Hallelujah. Passover, the Feast of Passover. In Revelation chapter 12, I'm going to start at verse 1. Exodus 12. Ooh, we're going to get revelation though, right? Glory to God. How's everybody? Blessed and highly favored, right? Highly favored or highly flavored? Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Now the word Egypt here is a representation of bondage. It means worldly. Who's the ruler of the world? Satan. Amen? So here the word Egypt, and of course in the word in the Bible, Egypt is always a representation of bondage. Worldly bondage, taken captive by the enemy. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the tenth of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, then let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." And it's very powerful. First of all, there's something very important. It talks about a lamb, and it must be a male lamb. Amen? And it must be without what we call out sin, but it must be blemish free. No blemishes on this perfect lamb that they're about to sacrifice. And they're going to do this at twilight, which is very significant. That's why many of the Jews got saved on the day Jesus was crucified. "And they shall take of the blood of it and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." Now you got to understand something. What they were going to do is they were going to take this lamb at twilight, kill it, sacrifice it, then eat it. Take its blood and put it on the lintels of the door of their home. Amen? And what was going to happen is God was going to pass through Egypt, because it was going to be basically the final plague. This is it. And God was going to kill all the firstborn. And I'll go on with this. And verse 9 says, do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire. Its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall eat, let none of it remain until morning, and whatever remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. Eventually you're going to see something a little bit different where it's going to be your Passover. But right now it's the Lord's Passover. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. He says in verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods or their idols of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So this day shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance, the feast of Passover. Let me share something with you, first of all, that God was about to strike. He was about to do judgment. Thank God that we're under the blood, because when judgment comes, we're not counted for wrath, are we? So what they did is they sacrificed this lamb. They put it on the lintels of their doors. And the spirit of death came through, saw the blood. And the blood represented those were God's children. Those are his. Anything that wasn't his, the firstborn died. It was taken. So if you look at something very powerful, here we have the blood that was applied by hand. Because everything in the Old Testament is a representation of ordinances and rituals, and it had to be physically done. When they went into the Holy Holies, when they had sacrifices and so forth, it had to be physically done. But see, now things are done spiritually because of the new covenant. So what they did at that period of time is they had to go out and apply the blood. Well, now you apply the blood by what you speak, because the word spirit means breath. Amen? So when you repent of your sins, the blood is activated in your life. That's why you can't just go, hi, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He can't be. Until you repent first, because the blood always goes before the spirit. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Now, there was something very powerful here, because this was also symbolic of his flesh and blood. Because he said, you got to eat the lamb. That's also associated with communion. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. The ultimate sacrifice, a lamb without blemish, a male lamb will be killed at twilight. Remember, Egypt is a representation of the world. And Jesus is the only one who can fulfill all the feasts. It was the first of seven feasts. The number seven means complete and perfect. Complete and perfect. So God set this up significantly. Now let me share with you already that we know that Jesus has already fulfilled the first four feasts. And I'm going to go through this for a little bit. Just so that you understand about this night. Now, Passover, meaning judgment of God, passed over. Let me tell you something. When God comes, and what we were talking about Tuesday, about releasing, loosing the hand of God, God's hand went through, didn't it? It brought blessing to the ones that were upright and covered by the blood, and judgment to the ones that weren't. I encourage you to get the tape that was preached Tuesday. It was very powerful. Go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. It's getting warm in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fire. It's cooking. I smell flesh cooking in here. No flesh, oh glory. Matthew 27. And verse 45. Now remember, they had to kill a an unblemished lamb, a male lamb at twilight. In verse 45, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land of Israel. Now you're talking, this is daytime here. Hello? You're talking 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Everybody got it? It was daytime. But all of a sudden it became dark. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Of course, he took all of man's sins. And some of those who stood there, when they heard that, Jesus, what he had said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. And the rest said, let him alone. In other words, let him suffer. Let's see if Elijah's going to come and get him. And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. Now, I just want to share something with you that many of the Jews realized then, because something was beginning to happen, that this was truly the Son of Man, the Son of God. And one of the things that, realizing that this was God who became man. Amen? Now look at, what had happened was, here he is on the cross, and they're all mocking him, saying all kinds of things and whatever, and come on, let's wait for Elijah, and let's see if you can come on. If you claim to be God, get yourself off the cross. All of a sudden, it became dark. All of a sudden, he yielded up his spirit, and the rock split. The heavens shook. The earth shook. People became afraid. Many of the Jews believed them because they were reminded of the Passover from the beginning, the removal of bondage. See, there had to be a price. Somebody had to pay a price. That animal had to pay the price for them to get free. In fact, he told me, he said, listen, don't put any yeast in your bread, right? Why? Because you're going to have to move quick. Don't worry about your bread rising. Hello? Why? Who was the bread of life? Jesus. What? Who was going to raise him? God. Now look at, all of a sudden, and then behold, verse 15, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Then the graves were opened. Graves were opened. And many of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. In other words, graves were opened. People were being released from bondage. Now, they weren't alive yet, were they? That means Jesus died on the cross. Then he went to hell. Amen? Resurrection Day is not Easter Day. Hello? It's called Resurrection Day. That's the day Jesus rose from the dead. We don't worship no bunny. Hello? Bunny had nothing to do with it. Not that I don't like bunnies. I don't eat them. But I like them as pets. It says, and the graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Not the unbelievers were raised. Many of the saints, these were saints that walked with Jesus while he was alive. In his three and a half year ministry, these are ones that died who believed him. They were not the old. There were those when Jesus was on the earth. All the other ones went home. These rose. Is everybody with me? Now they were laying there. Let's see, Jesus was on the cross at first. The earthquake, right? Rocks were split. He shook all hell. They were freaked out. Satan blew his mind when he saw Jesus come in. The graves were open. People were getting ready to get released. But they couldn't get fully released until he was released first. And in verse 53, and then it says, coming out of the graves after his resurrection, They went into the holy city and appeared to many. Oh, hallelujah. They witnessed to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. The first three feasts are expressed right here. The Passover on the cross, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because Jesus went to hell. The word leaven means evil. And then he rose, meaning first fruits. So actually, the feast that is celebrated in what man calls Easter, or you and I call resurrection, is called the Feast of First Fruits. Is everybody with me? So Sunday, you will celebrate the Feast of First Fruits. It said that he would be in for 3 days in the hell for 3 days, right? Oh, hallelujah. The three feasts fulfill the new covenant. Removal of bondage by restoring dominion. New life, present and eternal, by a relationship with God the Father and the Son through His Holy Spirit. He replaced the tabernacle made by man and one with one made by God. Because if you remember, Jesus said something very profound. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was talking about the three feasts that had to be fulfilled. Is everybody with me? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way means the cross. The truth means he descended. And the life means that he ascended. Now, where are we at right now, scripturally? Scripturally, we are at, he fulfilled those three feasts, and then he fulfilled the Feast of Pentecost when they all got baptized in the Holy Ghost in the honeymoon suite, which is known as the Feast of Pentecost. The next feast to be fulfilled is called the Feast of Trumpets, and it's a removal of the church for the wrath of God. That's the next feast, and only Jesus can fulfill them. Amen. It's also a representation. Remember Jesus said, this temple is going to be destroyed and in 3 days it will be raised. Jesus was known as the tabernacle of God. When he said, I am the way, truth, and life, it also represented not only the three feasts, but it represented the tabernacle. In fact, after God accepted that lamb sacrifice and removed his children out of Egypt, then he commanded them to build a sanctuary or a tabernacle. He did never command them beforehand. The only thing he asked from them was an altar of sacrifice. But until the ultimate, until the feast, the Passover, until they were taken out of Egypt to be fulfilled, then he commanded Moses to build a tabernacle, a place where he would dwell with them and speak to his own people. So at that point in time, they built a tabernacle, a place where it had three chambers in a tabernacle. It's called the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place where the veil was. There was a veil or a door. In fact, even the way, truth, and life was a representation of the doors. So now listen. When Jesus died on the cross, it said the veil was ripped, which allowed access. It was not man's access to God. It was God's access to man. Is everybody with me? Because he did not dwell with sin. So he wanted so badly to come back to his children. He wanted so badly to know his children so that they would know him. But there was a veil of sin that separated God from his own children. That's why he came himself to die. So that he could be reconciled to his children. Does everybody understand that? Through the blood. So when he looks at me and you, he looks at the price of his son, nothing that you and I have done. Nothing. Through the blood. That's why there's so much power in the blood of the Lamb. So much power, because that's how it started, with blood. Oh, hallelujah. So now, Jesus fulfilled even the tabernacle, where it was no longer a tabernacle made with man's hands, but the tabernacle of God made, where now you and I are the tabernacle. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 26 while we're here. Is everybody all right? 26 and verse 17. See, days are counted from sunset to sunset. So Thursday, at twilight on Thursday, would have been considered Friday. Is everybody with me? So from sunset to sunset, it would have been considered Friday. Because if you counted Friday itself right now, if you counted Friday as a day, Saturday and Sunday, it wouldn't be three full days, would it? So it's actually Thursday, but we're celebrating on Friday because our standard of time is Friday's the day. But it actually starts from Thursday sunset to Friday sunset would actually have been Friday. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. And verse 17. Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." There was a 7-day celebration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In the beginning of it, they were celebrating the Passover. The Lord told them, "It's time. This is my time." That night at Passover, Judas, possessed by Satan, turns Jesus over to be killed. What was happening at this Last Supper, it was the institution of the Last Supper, but it was symbolic to communion. See, Passover is so symbolic to communion. It's all a representation of that, symbolic of the communion God would desire with him and his children. Judas was possessed by Satan, because the Bible talks about how Satan entered into Judas. So Judas betrayed Jesus to fulfill the scriptures. Now you got to understand something, that if Satan would have known what was going on, he wouldn't have done it. The Bible tells us about that. Go to John chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Passover. We celebrate Passover. And John chapter 6 and verse 51. Does everybody understand what's going on? It's so important, because we take sometimes these lightly. You know, we take it lightly. But it's very significant. I don't recognize this as some kind of religious holiday. See, because I celebrate Passover every day. I celebrate resurrection every day. Amen? I the feasts, I celebrate every day. Because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. It's about relationship. It's not about a specific day. Although we take it out and reference it. But it's something that you and I should reference daily, because we're the tabernacle. We should have that relationship in the Spirit with God. And a daily reference to this. In John chapter 6 and verse 51, would you read it with me? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? See, you got to remember something. That wasn't the flesh of the lamb given to eat in the Passover in the Old Testament? Amen. Then Jesus said, most surely I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now the word flesh means word, and the blood means spirit. For my flesh, and whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. That's where the communion comes from. He who eats of my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now remember, the word bread or the flesh means the word. It means his word. You know how many places that don't want you to know the word? We must know the word of God. I know I was brought up not really knowing the word. I heard somebody speak a couple of scriptures of it, but that was it. I was always taught that the word of God was nothing but a story until the Lord paid me a visit and told me the word was true. Here we are instituting the communion again. Amen? All from the Last Supper. Eat his flesh and drink his blood. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. The Passover. Glory to God. In verse 14, would you read it with me? John chapter 1 and verse 14. That's why he said, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood will have eternal life. In verse 14, would you read it with me? And the word became flesh. So the Spirit put on flesh, didn't he? God Almighty put on flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me share something with you. The Word became flesh. The living Word, God Almighty, became flesh. He took and out of his closet of eternity and put on flesh. He had a flesh suit in there. Not a flesh suit like you and I know of. This was the Word of God, specifically tailored for him. He said, I'll go and rescue them because I love them. The Word that was specifically tailored. Jesus said that there was a body prepared for me in the Scriptures. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, and full of the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of truth. Full of the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of truth. Is everybody with me? Now you got to understand, here's the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of truth that was about to be executed. The exchange was about to come to pass. Go to 1 Corinthians 5. Oh, hallelujah. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Friday night. I usually don't do any teachings on a Friday night, but I was led to share this tonight. It's important that we get the understanding of the Passover. Would you read it with me in 1:7 and 8? 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 and 8. Everybody there? Therefore, purge out the what? Old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, hello. Remember, it was the Lord's Passover, now it's your Passover. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, because leaven means evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ, our Passover. Go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53. Is everybody there? Starting at verse 1. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? Would you read it with me? Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. God Almighty, the Bible says that, and out of his bosom came Jesus. Out of the bosom. See, the Bible tells us that the three witnesses were the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. The Son was not yet. It wasn't until God's plan came in action. The word mercy means God considers. The word grace means God's plan in action. That's why he came with the fullness of grace and truth. So when God chose to come as man, he took a part of himself, called him Son, begotten. The three witnesses in heaven were the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And the three witnesses now are the Father, what else? The Son and the Holy Spirit, right? Or what we might call the Word, the Blood, and the Spirit. Jesus is the witness. So in this, God himself struck his own Word. Does everybody understand it? Struck his own Word. He smitten him. God himself destroyed his own Son. It says it right here. Is everybody with me there? Read verse 5, or verse 4 with me. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. God Almighty allowed the beating to go. He had to. He knew the price for his children. He killed his own Son. Does everybody understand that? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we're healed now. That's why we have healing. And we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, his Son, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for transgressors. That's for me and you. That was the exchange that he made on the cross. God Almighty sacrificed his own son for me and you. Took his spirit, put the word of God on him, and crucified him. He allowed it to be done. The exchange of life of purity for our life of sin by the shed of his holy blood, pure blood. Genesis 3. Oh, hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3. What an exchange. This is what we're celebrating daily. I mean, there should be not one miserable believer. Anybody that's a miserable believer ought to stay home and shut the door. Don't tell nobody you know Jesus. Yeah, I'm telling you, there should be no miserable believers. If you sin, repent. It's real simple. Get back in position, let the old go, get back into the new, and accept the exchange that Jesus has paid the price for you. Well, things just aren't going according to the way I want. Praise God, die. It's real simple, three-letter word, die. Die to yourself. Well, I just don't feel like... Die. He died. Now you die. Yeah, but you don't know my circumstance. He does. Die. That's why the Bible says, deny yourself daily. That's why it's a good night to die. Oh, hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3. Remember, things had to be spoken in and done before it could be manifested. In Genesis 3 and verse 7, it says that... we'll start at 6. Hallelujah. Some things just don't change, right? And when the woman saw that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. She also deceived her husband and gave it to him. Doesn't say that right there, but it says it in other scriptures. Don't be offended, women. It's okay. We're all created equal. He blew it from the beginning. He should have went to his father and said, am I supposed to eat this from her? What's up? I have... You begin to understand something. He didn't see that fruit yet. I mean, he'd been hanging out there for a while in the garden, you know? Talking to all the animals and doing all kinds of stuff. Doing a breaststroke from pond to pond. I mean, he wasn't having a good time. Eternal life. It's like, man, what kind of, you know, praise God, this is great. I mean, he was loving it. Eating of all the fruits. I mean, you know, just because the fruits were meat to him. They didn't eat flesh. It meant they were glorified bodies. Glorified bodies. They were eternal beings. Didn't have to worry about tripping and cutting themselves and bleeding to death because they didn't have blood. They were glorified bodies. All of a sudden, his wife shows up and says, hey, check this out. And he ate it. He could have said, well, where did you get it from? Hello? He didn't question. Didn't check it. He was supposed to be commander in chief of there, that hotel garden. Something snuck in, and then once she ate it, of course, she had to obey the devil. That's how it got to him. Because it was no longer her. There was somebody else there. The voice of the stranger, the presence of the devil. And Satan entered her, took that fruit, and brought it to him. That's why he should have checked. Took out his checklist. So anyways, he ate it. That's all it's to it. It's done and over with, right? Everybody paid the price since then. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. It's amazing how we try to cover ourselves. And the Lord says, man, it ain't going to work. That's not going to work. It's got to be life for life. Go to verse 21. So this is where it was instituted right here, the sacrifice that was going to begin. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So God killed the first animal. Amen? So he killed the animal and said, hold on, you can't leave this hotel until I dress you correctly. Then he shut down the garden, threw them out. And Jesus had to come and reopen it. Amen? Jesus, my daddy, come and reopen it. The temporary life exchange, only covered. Understand something. Everything in the Old Testament covered, did not remove. Covered. They were covered with skins, weren't they? They were covered with fig leaves, and that wasn't going to work. But there had to be a life for a life. They were covered. From that point on, they were covered. They were covered by the blood of animal sacrifices. They were covered. But nothing was ever removed. They were just covered. Didn't get removed until Jesus came. Then it was removed. Because none of them could go to heaven, could they? No one in the Old Testament could go to heaven because it was covered. Paradise was in hell. In the chambers in the earth. That's where paradise was. Is everybody with me? And it wasn't purgatory, okay? No such thing as purgatory. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 5. Only the righteous were there. The righteous went to paradise and the depths of the earth, and the sinners went to hell. Once they breathed their last breath, it was over. Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. Is everybody okay? The Passover. Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we've been justified by his blood. Justified. And not only that, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. So we were justified by blood. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. The power of the blood of the Lamb. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 12. Oh, hallelujah. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on your behalf, on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. Verse 13. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. No longer for themselves. Do you live for yourself? Then you're not walking in the death of Christ. Because we labor unto Him. We live because of Him. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know Him thus no longer. We're not looking at Jesus as the flesh anymore, are we? He's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession. Believe me, His attire is totally different. He's got woolen hair, fiery eyes. Hello? It's the glory of God. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ. Say this with me. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. God was in Christ. Hallelujah. God was where? In Christ reconciling the world to Himself. That's why God came into the world. It was God put on the flesh, put on the Word. That it is God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. As He was pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Luke 22. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke 22 and 20. Ooh. Okay, let's start at 14. When the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him, and He said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." In verse 16, "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then He took the cup and He gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And He took the bread and gave thanks and broke it. What did the bread represent? His flesh, His body, and His word. And He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So when you and I do communion, this is what He's talking about. It all started with the Passover, didn't it? "Likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup.'" This cup is the what? "New covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." The new covenant. So I want to, listen, we've been justified by His blood. We have a ministry of reconciliation through His blood. And we have a new covenant by His blood. covenant, which we just talked about. By his stripes we're healed. Amen? Go to Revelation 1. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And has made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now he's given us positions in the body of Christ. In the kingdom. He's caused us to become kings and priests through the blood. Is everybody with me? So we've been justified, ministry of reconciliation, new covenant, and positions of royalty by the blood. We've been called to be priests and kings. Revelation chapter 12. The Bible also says that we have boldness to enter the throne room of God and come to him through the blood. I'm not really doing a teaching on blood. I just want to do a little simple teaching on Passover. But blood has to do with Passover. Amen? See, the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So we need pure blood. That's why people get blood tests when they're sick. Amen? In Revelation chapter 12, and verse 11, would you read it with me? And they what? And they overcame him. Who's him? The devil. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Oh, hallelujah. So we see we have power and authority over darkness by the blood. Go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 23. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Would you read with me verse 23? Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. Wait a minute, now what? But the heavenly things themselves with what? Better sacrifice than these. Now, I want to share something with you. And I want to read this again so you get understanding on this. Read it with me again. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. What's he talking about? The tabernacle in heaven. Okay? But the heavenly things themselves with the better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for me and you. Not that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. Now listen, when Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead, one of the things that happened is Mary Magdalene saw him and he said, man, don't touch me. I've not gone to my Father yet. He was bringing his blood to heaven to cleanse all of heaven so that they can go that were bound into heaven. Is everybody with me? See, heaven had to be cleansed also. And he had to bring his own blood to heaven. That's why he told Sister Mary, he said, don't touch me yet. I've not ascended to my Father. And he went and washed. Because remember the sanctuary and the tabernacle on earth with Moses built. What are they doing? They were always sprinkling blood on all the vessels and on the Ark of the Covenant and so forth. They were always sprinkling blood. They were having offerings in the outer courts for the covering of sin. And then when they went in, the high priest went to the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, he sprinkled blood. He sprinkled it 7 times. Sprinkling of the blood all the time. So we see here that Jesus, because the things in the natural were a copy of the things of the spiritual, so Jesus had to take his blood to heaven and sprinkle it all over so that you and I would have access to him. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Things in heaven, good. His own blood to release those in hell. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, the blood of Jesus. And when you start singing the songs of the blood of Jesus, you'll know a little bit more. Now, we do have a teaching on the blood. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Would you read it with me? Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also what? First descended into the lower parts of the earth. Well, where was he going? Hell. Amen. To get the keys from the devil, right? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Are you there in verse 38? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sins, not the covering, but the removal. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Why? Well, repentance is a representation of activating the blood. Amen? So when you get baptized in water, it's symbolic about the blood. Does everybody understand that? It's symbolic, a representation of the blood. That's why there's the baptism of water, then there's the baptism of the Spirit. Because the blood always goes before the Spirit. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11, would you read it with me? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near. By what? The blood of the Lamb. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So you don't have to sacrifice animals and stuff like that anymore. so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by what? One Spirit to the Father. One Spirit. That's why Jesus said no one comes to the Father except for through who? Him. So you don't pray to nobody else except for in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn to Hebrews 10. Glory to God. Then we're closing in one scripture. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. So we see the Passover was significant. Significant to our salvation. Significant to the exchange of life. Significant of God Almighty coming into the world himself and becoming our Passover, and his name was Jesus, given the name above all names. We also understand that those who were not covered by the blood were judged, weren't they? Amen? Now I want you to look at something very important. If you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, it says, would you read it with me? For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, that covering is lifted, isn't it? If you sin willfully, after you know the truth, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. And anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, isn't it? Hallelujah. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering. In other words, trampling the blood. Many people take it very lightly about trampling the blood. They trample the spirit, they trample the blood. It's a fearful expectation. It's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of a living God in judgment. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11 and we'll close here. Hallelujah. So we can't take that lightly, can we? Many people think they can just repent every Monday. I'll party Friday and fornicate and do this, that, and whatever. And then every Monday I'll just repent. Because the Bible says, if I ask for forgiveness, God forgives me. Well, the word repent means to turn away. It doesn't mean to repeat it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I want you to prepare your heart tonight for communion. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new cup of in my blood, the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's why you got to get right before you take communion. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep or die. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So I encourage you tonight, as we partake of the Passover and communion, if there's anything that you're holding towards someone, or anything that's holding you, unforgiveness, bitterness, you're still touching unclean things, you know you're out of God's will, something's not right, I encourage you to repent tonight that you may receive the blessing of the Lord in communion. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. And tonight as we partake of communion with you, Lord, we are reminded of the Passover. We again ask for your forgiveness of everything we've done that's offended you in every area. Words that were spoken, especially words that were spoken out of season, out of flesh, out of resentment, out of anger. Things that were done, Lord, out of the flesh in any way whatsoever. We ask for your forgiveness. You're not looking for good people. You're looking for righteous ones. And only it's you, Lord, that can bring us righteousness. Because our own righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. So, Father, we take this opportunity and we ask you to continue to search us. Remove those things, Lord. Free us from the bondage and captivity of darkness as we partake of the bread and the wine, that we may be filled and established and be one with you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.